My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Coming up within the next hour or so, Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show on the Team 980. He'll join us at 7:20 to talk Commanders. And Pete Haley will join us from Paris. He's our NBC Olympics correspondent. You don't want to miss that. He joined us last week. So we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. But right now it's time to hit the Skins. Training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com is where you find them online. Your clear home improvement choice. So Devontae Adams was featured on Hot Ones recently with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who he's also featured with in the Netflix show Receiver. He had some not-so-nice things to say about FedEx Field and also the Commanders fan base. Here's Devontae Adams from the Vegas Raiders.
And then you got the Washington football team. I mean, they obviously just miserable because the stadium is horrible. The city is not great at all. I'm probably going to get somebody at my front door after this, but that's just how I feel. We on Hot Ones right now, so this is just a raw and cut.
Right.
Yeah.
Not making any friends here in the D.C. area, Devontae Adams.
Is that all he said? That he didn't give a reason for why he doesn't like the city?
That's all he gave you. Mm. But look, he's played here. I don't know how much experience he has being in D.C. other than flying in here, being shuttled off to his fancy hotel, and then playing at FedEx Field. I just don't know why was it such a bad experience? Why were the fans so miserable?
I mean, he lived in Green Bay forever.
But is he entirely inaccurate? I mean, really what he's saying...
The stadium, okay, but he's killing the city. You don't know anything with the city.
I don't... See, my interpretation is he's not breaking down the city like the monuments and all of the sites. I think he's really just grilling the fan base.
Yeah, and them being miserable, as he quoted, was, look, they've been following a team owned by Dan Snyder that's had no sort of success for 30 years. He's probably pretty close on calling the fan base miserable because they've put up with a lot of bad football over the last three decades here in D.C.
That's the way it is. I've always said this, though. When the team wins, it is a cure for all.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So in 2012, and that's what we have to go back to, that magical year of 2012 with RG3, people weren't complaining about the commute to the stadium. They weren't complaining about the stadium. They were just swept into
RG3
mania.
Everyone wanted to go to games.
And then the fan base is fine.
Right.
But yeah, when you're losing year after year after year, is their last winning season 2016?
Were they 8-7-1?
Yes. I think that was their last winning season.
Sounds right.
So when you're losing consistently, you've got a terrible owner. People are going to be unhappy, and I think you'll get comments like that. Does it fire you up, Cakes? Some people get fired up about this kind of thing.
I mean,
I just didn't think it was entirely inaccurate. Other than if you actually took the literal thing where he says the city, if you took that, you'd be like, hey, I mean, Washington's a great city.
Right.
Now it's one of the most visited cities in the world.
Now it's not
so
like
he's probably just generalizing.
He wasn't just picking on the Commanders and Washington. He also mentioned the Eagles, the Patriots, and the Bills, the latter of which he called, quote, disrespectful for their snowball throwing antics.
Yeah.
But I mean, most fans are going to start, if there's snow accumulated in the stadium, at some point they're going to start throwing snowballs.
They don't throw them in Green Bay.
I don't think that's exclusive to just Buffalo.
Packers fans don't throw snowballs.
I would imagine they do at some, they have
I
at
mean,
some
it's
point.
It's miserable up there in the wintertime.
Or maybe they're just a more respectful group.
Maybe not. Yeah, you might be right.
Maybe they're not as insane as Bill's Mafia. It seems to be a bit of an extreme fan base.
Yeah, so it's been 7 years since Washington has had a winning record. Seven seasons.
Seven.
What? Yeah.
Just such a drought. Just such
and
a
it wasn't even a great winning
through.
Season. It was 8-7-1.
Yeah.
Basically 500.
Right.
Hopefully Jaden Daniels can turn it all around. And if Jaden can do what RG3 did, there will be less complaining about the stadium and less complaining about all of that. And the fan base will be reignited, which will hopefully happen this year. It'd be awesome.
I mean, if you think about it, it's been such a bad run for this team since we were in college in the early 90s.
Yeah.
They've had three double-digit winning seasons. So they've had three 10-win seasons. Nothing more than 10. Just 10.
So
three.
Basically one per decade. Since
one per 10 years.
Since
correct.
The 90s.
Yes.
Well, I think in the entire tenure of the show. So we started Weekends in 1996. So if you start with the Weekend show, that's 28 years, right?
Right.
By my math. 28 years. They've won two playoff games.
I was going to say, they've been to the playoffs this many times.
But just think about the playoff wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Am I wrong on that? It might only be one.
No, you're right, because they won one in 99. They won one in 05.
That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else,
they've got two playoff wins in the history of this radio show.
The last great moment for this franchise, for this team, the last Super Bowl win, I remember it, well, somewhat hazily, because we threw a rager the night before. It was the night before classes started, I believe. And I woke up, and I'm trying to put this delicately. I had used my alarm clock as a toilet.
And you were famous for that.
Well, I was celebrating.
Not just the alarm clock, but different spots that weren't the toilet.
It's kind of my signature.
Yes.
I was celebrating the then Skins' huge win over Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Overserved.
I was overserved at my own house. Somehow that happened. But that was 30 plus years ago.
Yeah.
That's a long time in the rearview mirror. And hello, I'm a more responsible person now. I'm more responsible with alcohol than I was when I was like 20.
So it's been
But I'm really flummoxed by when you really think about two playoff wins in the history of this radio show that I can think about when we first started out. We were the rights holders.
Yeah.
We did an Art Monk. No, it was Daryl Green cruise. Do you remember that?
I do remember
that. We did a live broadcast from a Daryl Green cruise, which was probably 1997.
I think we interviewed Gus Frat is kind of jumping out at me.
Yeah, a couple guys came by and we were outside.
Sure.
As there was kind of a red carpet. Just before the season was about to start. I mean, we did a show, the first ever broadcast from the opening of FedEx Field.
You know what? Thank God.
And you would have bet that they would have had, I don't know, 10 playoff wins in 28 years? Is that reasonable?
Yeah.
15?
Jason, thank God there's not a picture of that event, because if my memory serves correct, I think I was wearing this is like to a radio appearance.
Yeah.
I was wearing Redskins mesh shorts, a Skins jersey, and I think I was wearing a Skins hat. I was
probably.
I was Skins all in. Head to toe. Like, it was not a great look.
So when Devontae Adams says something like that,
he's not far off.
Yeah. There's some truth to it. Like, you know, somebody tweeted, because I had tweeted that at Junks Radio, if you want to follow us on Twitter, Devontae's statement. And somebody was upset. I'm like, how is he saying that about our city? And my interpretation was, he's not saying that. What, even though, like, literally he's saying it, but I don't think he's saying the monuments stink right. and the city sucks.
A generalization.
He's talking about the fan base.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's coming from Green Bay, which has arguably one of the best fan bases.
He walked into FedEx. I'm sure they played here in 2021 when he was still a member of the Packers. I know that he walked in here and saw 35,000 Packers fans.
Right.
And he's probably like, what's going on here? What's going on with this fan base? It's half, or maybe more than half full of people wearing green and gold. Like, it looked like Lambeau East to him. So he has to have a negative view of the fan base when he sees basically the same amount of people rooting for the Packers as for the home team.
Every player in the league probably has the same reaction to that.
Right.
Anybody who's come in here to play on an opposing team probably goes, what is going on here?
Sure. I mean, he's used to nothing but a string of sellouts at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
And then he sees a three-quarters filled stadium, and half of it's filled with Packers fans. So, of course, he's going to have a negative outlook on the stadium and the fan base. It makes sense. I don't begrudge him. It's his opinion. Certain places he likes playing.
Like I said, he was killing the city, but he's probably generalizing based on the fact that nobody comes to games.
Right.
He's not commenting on the monuments and the historical aspect of the city.
I'm just
talking about the football fan base.
I'm just going to guess that Devontae Adams has never even walked around D.C. outside of whatever hotel they were staying in when they came in to play the Washington football team.
Probably not
staying in D.C.
They might have been staying at MGM National Harbor. They may have been staying in Virginia, in Arlington. Who knows?
I'm guessing they're staying close to Landover.
Could have been. Or you stay in Alexandria, take a bus across the river. I don't know. I don't know where the teams stay when they come and play against Washington.
I think they stay at the harbor. I think they stay at MGM.
Okay. That makes sense.
I mean, maybe not every team, but I think some teams do.
Right. So Devontae Adams, not a fan of playing against the Commanders here in D.C.
All right, so what were some of the other highlights from yesterday? A buddy of mine was at practice yesterday and said that they weren't on the field very long.
Short practice?
Yeah, I don't know how long it was total, but he said he was probably talking to people too. So
I did see J.P. Finley's tweet. Brandon Coleman getting left tackle work with starters, rookie, that's also the plan. He tweeted that yesterday from training camp. And then Nikki Javala from the Washington Post, she followed up with some quotes from Dan Quinn on Brandon Coleman. I knew he was a very good athlete, but one of the things I've been impressed with him is he has great balance for a big guy. He's very rarely someone who's out of position. He's a very in-control player as an offensive lineman, and that's a real attribute as an offensive lineman, end quote from Dan Quinn. So the rookie looks like he's going to have a sizable role on that offensive line.
Yeah. He may not
year one.
He may not start week one, but he's going to be an eventual starter this year.
Yeah.
It's hard to read too much into a lot of the things that you see coming out. For example, Jason, if you go to the Washington Post, one of the takeaways, four-string quarterback Sam Hartman hit wide receiver Jameson Crowder on a crossing route. That's Sam Fortier, who we had on the show. I mean, okay, Jameson Crowder looks good, but he's not going to be an impactful player, that impactful of a player for the Commanders this year.
I'm just going to be honest. Sam Hartman?
You're not going to see Sam Hartman.
Right. Like, I understand, like, you got to write about him because, you know, you got to file your stories or whatever. If there's any sort of Sam Hartman, you know, like, playing actual games, it's Titanic.
Correct.
Like, he's a developmental guy. It's all about Jaden. I don't even need to hear that much about Marcus Mariota, because unless Jaden gets injured, he's not part of the plan either.
Right.
He's just the backup, and he only goes in case of extreme dire emergency.
Well, apparently Mariota was bad again yesterday. So you don't want to see Commanders fans, you do not want to see Marcus Mariota.
No, you don't.
But Cakes, I know you don't want to see it, but it's a necessity. that
understood.
Mariota,
Sam Hartman's got to get work. So does Mariota.
Mariota's got to get work.
Because, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, what if this team is, you know, 7-3 and Jaden gets nicked up and can't go for a week, and all of a sudden you're in the throes of a divisional race?
Oh, no, you're right. Mariota's going to play this year.
Well, if there's,
I will put any amount of money Mariota plays. I'm not saying because Jaden Daniels going to be bad. I'm just combination performance slash injury. I said this last year about every quarterback, and I was right on most of them. You're going to see Mariota play.
I hope you're wrong. No, but you're probably right.
But there's no chance Daniels plays 17 games. Zero.
I know. No one wants to see Mariota or any backup playing with the number ones, but it's a necessity, especially when you have 18 game seasons.
Yeah.
These backup quarterbacks are very important to a lot of teams.
Understood. That's why they're making the money.
They need to be ready in case they need to spot start for a week or two, especially with teams that are making playoff
pushes. I understand that.
Of course.
But if the Commanders are in that 7-3 scenario and Mariota takes over, be prepared for them to be 7-6 with the quickness.
Well, he'll just hand the ball off.
You don't think Mariota can come in and you can steal a win for two weeks? That's all you're trying to do.
He can do that.
But I don't have a lot of faith
in him. It's not like he's gone over. I mean, he can win some games. He's just not the long haul.
Right.
You don't want to see him for over the
long. You want to see him maybe for one game at a time. That's it. All right, coming up next, we'll continue to talk Commanders Chris Russell from Team 980. He will join us next here on The Fan. Going to head now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Out of the BetQL guest hotline, welcome in Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show on the Team 980, 1 till 4 p.m. Training camp coverage on 106.7 FAM, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. What's up, Rooster? Good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Rooster, I'm working on those Hokies Rutgers tickets.
Attaboy.
I got a couple of connections. I haven't heard back from one of them yet. Because I need tickets, too, because usually the station gives us some tickets, but they don't, for whatever reason, they don't have them for that weekend.
Yeah, I'll reach out to you a little bit later on so we can communicate and all that, but I appreciate it.
I'm working on it.
It's a little... what a miserable looking day as I just look out my window. I don't know if we're going to be inside, outside today for, day six of practice?
Yeah, why? What are you noticing?
Yeah, what is it? Just
very overcast and sort of, I mean, looks like it could pour at any moment. So, you know, I don't know, again, if practice is going to be able to be held outside.
I think they're calling for rain later tonight, like for storm.
Yeah, maybe we'll get away with it.
But I don't think it's supposed to rain today.
I think you're going to dodge it, Rooster. You'll be okay.
It does not look promising, I would guess, just is what I would say outside my window. But either way, ultimately, you know, it's interesting. And I don't know what they do, because I think they have season ticket holders again only today. Mm. And if they have to go into the bubble, I don't know how they deal with that, because obviously there's not enough room in the bubble to do both. So they pretty much make a decision, you know, I would say, like right around now, to give everybody an opportunity. So maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just try and go outside and they'll do kind of one of those crisp, intense practices, kind of like they did yesterday. Where they were in pads for the first time, and it was only an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 15 minutes, guys.
Yeah, it was quick.
Rooster, speaking of not looking promising, is the Jamin Davis pass rusher experiment going to work? I mean, maybe it will. If Dorrance Armstrong seems to be your best edge rusher currently on the roster, maybe it could work. How do you think this is all going to play out?
Well, it hasn't looked good so far. At any point, and I watched him... You know, I can't watch him on every snap. I can't watch him every play or anything like that. But I watched him, I don't know, three or four snaps the other day. Sunday, maybe? I don't know, all these days kind of combine and gel together. And there was just no juice off the line of scrimmage. He didn't seem to, like, use his hands in any sort of... you know, aggressive, like shucking aside a block or the offensive tackle's hands. You know, he didn't rip, he didn't swim, he didn't do anything that jumped out to me on any of those snaps where I specifically honed in on him. And he was going up against the back, I think it was Trent Scott, but it may have been even somebody lower than that. And listen, one thing I've learned over the years is I've got to adjust my compass, right? And I've got to be more patient. And I've got to understand that immediate results don't always happen. And things take longer than they, you know, ideally should or you ideally want. And maybe that's the case with Jamin Davis. I don't know. But we know he's got the athleticism. We know he's got closing speed. Does he have the burst to get off the line of scrimmage, off the snap? And does he have any ability to set up a tackle and use his hands to shuck that tackle aside and to get into the backfield? And so far, on any of the reps that I've seen where I've been close on, or any of the reps I think that others have seen, there's no indication of that right now.
Mm. He's working with Ryan Kerrigan, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Was he bad as a linebacker? I know he wasn't great in pass coverage, but let's just say stopping
the run. You're
talking
about Kerrigan?
No, I'm talking about
Jamin
Davis.
Jamin. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, Jamin was really good at, again, the closing speed thing. Like, when he would see something and there would be space, he could close in on it and light somebody up. We all remember the big play week two against Russell Wilson in Denver, forced a fumble down 21-3 along the sideline, closed, you know, probably from one hash mark all the way to the sideline, and again, created that fumble, closing in space, a thing he's very good at. And he should quite honestly, be good at. And I remember in his rookie year, everybody was so disappointed in him. He made 7 or 8 pop, explosive, you know, type plays where you say, okay, they've got something here. The problem is the rest of the tool bag just doesn't seem to be there. The rest of the repertoire doesn't seem to be there. And I would just go, maybe this is unfair. I mean, we know he's made some bad mistakes off the field, inexcusable, which tells you something. I don't know what it tells you, but it tells you something, that something's not right there. But I don't think he's viewed upon as having a very high football IQ, at least by the previous staff. And we'll see about this staff. And obviously, they're trying this conversion, probably because they understand it ain't going to work at linebacker either.
So they've given up on him as a linebacker. Isn't he kind of small to be a pass rusher?
Yes, because he's what, 235?
Yeah,
235, somewhere in that range. I mean, he is, but because of that athleticism, you might be able to get away with it if you can learn again how to use your hands and how to get that pop off the line of scrimmage. So far, we haven't seen it yet. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but so far, we haven't seen it yet.
What are the chances he doesn't make the final 53, according to the Rooster? The Rooster forecast.
30% higher, I mean, lower?
Coming into camp, and I, you know, talked about this during the offseason, I thought there was at least a 30-35% chance that he wouldn't make the roster coming into camp. Now that I've seen so far very little evidence that he's like handled this transition with ease, not that I thought he would, but handled this again, right now, I want to be careful. It's a week into camp. Things can change. I mean, we could get to, you know, the Jets game in the preseason and all of a sudden go, okay, wow. You know, or practice next week and we could, Jamin figured it out. Right now, I would say 60% chance that he doesn't make the roster in my eyes. I mean, right now, I just don't see anything right now that's saying, okay, because he doesn't play really much on special teams. If he's not great in space as a cover, read, and react guy as a linebacker, if he's not explosive off the edge and using that athleticism that he does have to, again, close speed, what is he?
Yeah, you're right.
He's limited. And
extremely.
And, yeah. And there's a couple of kids right now, you know, that are pushing for time at those extra linebacker spots. And we don't even know if the team is going to take more than, say, 4 linebackers, right? We know Bobby Wagner. We know Frankie Louvu. We know the rookie from Temple,
Jordan McGee.
Yeah. And then they probably take one more is what I would say. At least 4, maybe 5 because of special teams.
Yeah, they might take keep Anthony Pittman, who they signed from Detroit.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah, Anthony Pittman almost surely, I think, will make the team because of the special teams. So, I mean, if you consider him a linebacker, which, you know, that's his listed position, it'd probably take 4. Then the question is, do they take 5?
Talking to Chris Russell about Commanders training camp, I'm wondering if you can tell watching the different philosophy defensively, or is it too early to kind of notice differences? We were kind of sold that Dan Quinn's defenses in Dallas, they get interceptions. It's turnover driven. Have you noticed anything about the defensive approach?
I would say for me, and maybe I'm missing it, not a lot has jumped out in that. I mean, there's been a couple of interceptions. There's been a couple of near interceptions. Michael Davis, the veteran corner, had one of Jaden Daniels on Friday. Caillou Blue Kelly, who's like a young corner who played a little bit last year, had one of Marcus Mariota. Sunday on a nice defensive audible switch that Jeremy Reeves kind of led and got everybody lined up. They were running 2x2, 4 wide receivers on the offense, and they made it a late adjustment, and it led to an interception. There's been a couple of tip passes, but I wouldn't say anything that has jumped out in terms of like, oh, okay, like this is the Dan Quinn defense. Now, how much of that are they holding back in terms of exotic pass rush looks? You know, are they waiting to get the cameras out of there, which I think they are? Are they waiting to get the media out of there? In some ways, yes. Are they waiting until Jerzon Newton is able to be in team drills so that they could run more twists and stunts up the middle, more A-gap blitzes on either side of the center, that type of stuff? Yes. I think we've seen guys from the secondary shoot up and make or potentially make explosive plays in the flat area on like little shovel toss pitch handoffs. Like I saw, who was it? Quan Martin the other day almost blow up Austin Eckler. Now he misses the tackle. I don't know, but he was a heat seeking missile. Yesterday it wasn't the secondary. It was Dante Fowler that, you know, got in the hole and threw his body around. And it seems like they are being aggressive in that area, but I haven't been able to see like anything obviously aggressive in terms of creativity overall. And it's hard, guys. There's so much going on at one time and you're trying to figure out, wait a second. Who's the guard that, wait, now they've got this guy at tackle. Now they've got this. I mean, it's hard enough to track what the hell they're doing at quarterback, right. You know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rooster, is there going to be a carousel of kickers coming out to Ashburn soon? Because I know Ramiz Ahmed has had a shaky few days of camp hitting the crossbar in back-to-back days. Give us the latest on the kicking situation out there.
Yeah, well, it's not good. He's missed at least four that I've seen. It might be five. Oh. I might have lost count. He missed three on, was it Friday? I believe it was Friday. Again, I apologize. All these days are kind of blending together.
It's all good.
But I know we missed three in one day, and then, Casey, you just mentioned, you know, the last. Listen, nobody should have expected this kid to be great, or nobody should have expected this kid to be really good from the start, with the exception of they were kind of hoping that he would be because they didn't, you know, even though you got 90 spots on the roster. And you would think you can get a second guy on there. They didn't. And he's got no NFL or very, very limited NFL experience, and it's really just as a kickoff specialist. So I don't know what the hell they're thinking. I do know this. Riley Patterson just got released. What team was he on? Was he Jacksonville? I believe it was Jacksonville.
Yeah.
If I'm Adam Peters, I would have been on the phone last night trying to get him in here for a visit. It's not good enough. I mean, if this front office goes for, I want to be careful here because I don't want to kill the new front office, because Adam Peters, as you guys know, is a really nice dude. If this is their plan, it's a bad plan. I'll just say that.
How much do you want to see Jaden in that first preseason game against the Jets?
Well, Jason, I want to see him.
I know you want to see him for about a half.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But you're going to see him.
How much do I think they'll play him?
Yeah, yeah.
A series, maybe two.
Okay.
You know, now, here's why I want to see him more. Not only because I want to see him and I want us to have more, you know, more stuff to talk about and just all the stuff that matters to us, right? But against that Jets pass rush and against that Jets defense, now, probably guys like Quinn and Williams are not going to be playing, but, you know, Hassan Reddick's not going to be playing. So who knows who will be out there, but I'd still like to see him against what is considered an aggressive Jets scheme and whatever they have out there as their front seven. So, you know, but we'll probably only get him a series or two. If I would be disappointed. I would be disappointed very much so if he does not play. He needs the work. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, just what I see in practice every day, and I know some people want to put, like, you know, bouquets around him with every throw. you know, I don't do that, guys. I don't the 7-on-7 stuff, I mean, look, it all looks great. I don't care about what you do versus air. I care what you do in 11-on-11s, and I got to be honest with you. You know, there's been some great throws, great reads, great decisions. But then, you know, I was just looking through my notes, and I mean, there are plenty of throws that he misses.
Yeah, there's and plenty of throws things. Where he looks like a
rookie. What about those throws into the net, Rooster? Everybody's getting fired up.
Oh, wait a second. And what have you guys heard about the basketball that he likes to share with his teammates?
I've seen the basketball, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. If I see another video, another clip, another picture. I put up a clip yesterday, a picture just making fun of everybody. And some some people thought I was being serious. I was like, oh, hey, here, it's the basketball sitting in the net watching practice. Does anybody know what this is all about? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. But we're all looking for anything positive and anything for clicks and anything for likes. I don't play that game anymore. I used to. I don't play that game anymore. I'll just be a sarcastic bastard and have everybody hate me and think I'm miserable. The bottom line is look, there's been plenty of good things with Jaden. I mean, I've seen some RPO stuff, and some takeoffs. I've seen some really good throws, slants. I've seen some passes over the middle where maybe his receiver didn't, hung him out to dry. I've seen some back corner end zone stuff that is majestic and pretty. I don't want to make anybody think that there hasn't been good, but I wouldn't say it has been wow, like, oh, right. My goodness, he's been great, especially over the last couple of days as they've amped up his ones work against the ones and more of the ones in defense. Meaning the first 2 days, he was kind of mostly working against twos. The last 3 days, Friday, Sunday, and Monday, he's worked against ones, and I think it's been uneven, in my opinion.
Rooster, we know you got to run, man. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us,
man. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you as always.
Yep, that's Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show on the Team 980. That's from 1 until 4 p.m. Don't forget, coming up at 8 o'clock, Pete Haley will join us from Paris. He's our NBC Olympics correspondent. I feel bad for Valdez. He looks lonely in the producer's studio because drab T-shirt and Mike Marr kind of dovetailing off of our discussion about Americans turning their backs on McDonald's. They're on a quest for Filet-O-Fish right now as we speak.
I think the turning their backs on McDonald's is quite overstated.
A little bit.
It was a less than 1% drop in a quarter of profits.
That is correct.
I went to McDonald's last night, drive-thru.
You're doing your part.
And there was a line.
Yeah.
And it was 7:45 at night.
I don't think I'm the only person this happens to. I just feel like this happens to me. I always, without fail, I always pick the wrong line in a double drive-thru. I always want to go to the...
Always bet against cakes.
I always want to go to the inside because you just, like if you've ever watched NASCAR, even once in your life, you want to be on the inside lane.
Sure.
You never want to be hung out to dry on the outside lane. Like even if there's an extra car at times inside, I'll tend to pick the inside lane over the outside because I just feel like you just get hung out to dry sometimes on the outside lane. But I know without fail, I'm going to pick the slowest lane whatsoever. Like the person in front of me either is going to have trouble like using the app or they're going to have the world's largest McDonald's
order.
It's
just your luck, right?
It's just like I can never pick the right lane. I'm always botching it. Need to get better at that. I should just... Whichever lane I think I'm going to pick, just do the opposite.
Anyway, we're going to have the fish fillets because Valdez says he's never had one, and I don't think I've ever had
one. You're tilting me a little bit by calling them fish fillets. They're Filet-O-Fishes. They're Filet-O-Fishes.
They are.
You can't
that shows them, you. I don't know anything them, about it. I don't even consider it.
You can't call them fish fillets and expect for me to take you seriously. Filet-O-Fishes is
they
the proper
filet-os.
Name.
They are
Filet-O's. They're Filet-O-Fishes.
Am I going to like this?
I don't
it's a
know.
Fish stick.
I think you will.
Do you like fish sandwiches? Because
you like
they
fish
sandwiches. They have to be done well.
It's going to be mediocre.
You know what?
It's going to be...
I don't.
Are you hungry?
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
If you're hungry, I think you'll like
here's what I think. I think they're going to try to sweet talk the people at McDonald's. The people at McDonald's are going to tell Mar and Drab to go kick a bunch of rocks.
Because then they're not going to get
And then they're going to come back here. Now, this is still a win.
No. They have the bags you carry.
Always bet against cakes.
Oh, they do? Oh,
yes. Yes.
They've already got all
yes.
the Filet-O-Fishes.
Drab will be walking in here in the next 5 minutes with,
you know what?
With Filet-O-Fish.
Powers of Persuasion by Drab and Mar. Well done. Yeah. I was thinking that they would just be told no.
I know. If I was working at McDonald's, I would have given them the Heisman right, so quick.
Right. How about we give you some sausage McMuffins with egg instead? Then that would be great.
Should have put in an order for hotcakes. That's what I really would like
just said,
this time of day.
Get me hotcakes and sausage.
Yes.
Why am I going to be eating fish at 8 in the morning? But hey, this is what we do.
Yeah, but it's for the bit.
This is sometimes the way the show works.
What's on it besides cheese?
Just tartar
sauce and a bun.
That's it.
That's it?
Yep.
There's
That's
no
it.
Like
it's
lettuce and tomato?
Nope.
Lettuce and tomato? Where have you been for the last 30 years,
No,
sir?
No lettuce and tomato.
You don't know what's on a Filet-O-Fish?
No, I told you. I've never had one.
I know. Do you listen? He said he's never had one. Why would he be familiar?
I don't even look at that. item on the menu.
Okay, you might not look at it, but just because you don't look at it and or order it with any regularity doesn't mean you don't know what it is. It's a staple of the McDonald's menu.
He doesn't. He's going to find out.
Here it is. Bun.
Well, I'm not Ronald McDonald.
Bun. Filet. Layer of American cheese. Blah. Tartar sauce. Top bun. There you have it.
Every fish sandwich that I've had in Hilton Head or wherever has had lettuce and tomato.
Every fish sandwich you've had.
It's not a regular fish sandwich.
Yeah, it's different.
It's Nubs.
It's their own spin on it.
It's fast food fish sandwich.
No lettuce or tomato.
It's definitely Nubs. The guy who called in to defend it, who said it was good, said he watched a documentary about it, which is it's crazy. Wow. Had to have been beyond just about the fish sandwich.
Right.
But he watched a documentary. He said it was from a bottom feeder fish.
Yes.
He didn't even know what fish it was, but he said a bottom feeder.
Well, dude, it's a $5 sandwich. Yeah, they're not going to serve halibut.
They're mass producing it. You're not going to get a filet of fish made out of Chilean sea bass.
Right. Okay. Here's the key, though, for the filet of fish. The bun has to be hot and soft.
Okay.
Now, since they're bringing it from the restaurant, it might not be, because right when you go to the drive-thru, it's right off out of the oven.
Right.
And so it's hot and soft.
Correct. Look at these conquering heroes.
So let's see how it is.
They've got the bag. Good for them.
All right.
Just pass around a filet of fishes, or as JP likes to call them, fish fillets.
Don't open it yet. All right. All right, it's warm.
What's the order? I 100% have never had this. You know what? Never had it.
Give me that filet fish. Give me that fish. Whoever did this bit, this jingle, they should be a multimillionaire because that thing sticks in your brain forever. Can I hear that again, Valdez? Please run that.
All right, let me know when I can bite it because I'm hungry.
Give me that filet fish. Give me
that fish. JP doesn't care. He's just taking it over. What
if that were you? Oh, I do love that Drab did get me special order, no cheese on mine.
Shout out to my guy Islam at the Crystal City McDonald's.
Thank you. Islam. Well done.
Thank you, Islam.
Above and beyond. I mean, you can't get this for breakfast.
Good job.
Special.
These are freshly made.
I pulled up my Verizon Vios app, showed them the Monumental Sports Network, showed us live. I showed my empty seat. I said, that's me. I'm supposed to be there. I'm here. We're talking McDonald's.
I will say, initially, very off-putting is that the tartar sauce is leaking out.
The presentation may not be the best.
It's a copious amount of tartar sauce for some extra flavor.
That looks like a mess.
For my first bite ever of a fish,
but the tartar sauce
filet,
it works.
Or Filet-O-Fish.
It's a Filet-O-Fish.
What kind of cheese is this?
It's not bad, man. Because you know what it is?
Who's American?
Tartar sauce is basically mayo, right?
Yeah, it's mayo with some maybe relish thrown in there. I don't know what else is in there.
It's... The mayo is, it's a ton, or tartar.
Which is good when you're hungry.
It's not bad.
You're pummeling that. Mm.
I think this would be good with a remoulade?
Remoulade.
Yes. All right.
A remoulade
sauce. Are we ready, Cakes? You want a drum roll, or should I?
I already took my bite. Oh. Mm.
This is my first ever.
All these maiden voyage.
It's my first ever, too.
Whoa.
Much tartar.
There's a lot of tartar.
You got some on your face still.
Well, look at the box. The box has tartar all around it.
You know what? It's not bad. I could see if I was starving how much better this would taste.
Yeah.
40% less tartar sauce is the perfect amount of tartar sauce.
That looks like me at 2:00.
Yeah, I just had my first bite ever of the Filet-O-Fish. I gotta say, I slept on it. Pretty silly.
Do we have napkins?
I might order this again.
Big mess.
Yeah,
I may order this sometime.
It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
JP's gonna roll up and say, "Give me that fish fillet. Give me back that fish fillet. Give me that fillet." What is he gonna say? Give me that fish. Marketing geniuses.
It's good.
Did you guys on the napkins? Whoever just gets one little napkin.
There's 500 napkins.
Yeah.
Okay. What's funny is Cakes doesn't like cheese, but he likes the sandwich.
Because he had no cheese.
No cheese.
Oh, you don't have any cheese?
I got a special order.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They put the steak on the top to let you know there's no cheese on it. That's the McDonald's code.
I think the cheese, you need the cheese for this.
Well, I didn't need the cheese, and it's delicious.
I pummeled it. Done.
You inhaled that Filet-O-Fish. Well,
what do they call the Filet-O-Fish in France, Cakes?
I wouldn't have any idea. I know that they call the Big Mac the Royale with cheese. I don't know what they call the Filet-O-Fish. Not sure. Mm. Would have to look into that. Jason, I think, needs a second one. Did you guys get extras?
No, that's good.
You know what? I will say it might be a new fave.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Your initial bite, it didn't look like it was going to be a fave.
Well, it was too much tartar.
It was overpowering.
Yeah. Next time you go, say it. Not as much tartar. Yeah, you'll like it even more.
A little easier on that. All right, thank you, boys, for going out and securing the bag.
That's a small sandwich.
What's the guy's name at the McDonald's?
Islam.
Thank you, Islam.
Islam again. Very nice.
Hope he's listening.
Well so done, if sir. You got the value meal, you would get fries and a drink with this. It's small.
Of course you would.
It is small.
It's not going to fill you up.
Yeah, you need the fries.
That tiny sandwich, $5.66 a piece.
Yeah.
I'll stick with my quarter pound of cheese.
5 years ago, it was like $2. Right.
Expense that.
Yeah. Hope you didn't come out of pocket for that.
Better find that receipt.
Yeah.
Do we need to Venmo?
It's fine.
No, we're good. We're good to go. All right, coming up next, we will talk with Pete Haley, our NBC Olympics correspondent. He is going to join us live from Paris next here on The Fan. Feel bad for Valdez. He looks lonely in the producer's studio because drab t-shirt and Mike Marr kind of dovetailing off of our discussion about Americans turning their backs on McDonald's. They're on a quest for Filet-O-Fish right now as we speak.
I think the turning their backs on McDonald's is quite overstated.
A little bit.
It was a less than 1% drop in a quarter of profits.
That is correct.
I went to McDonald's last night, drive-thru.
You're doing your part.
And there was a line.
Yeah.
And it was 7:45 at night.
I don't think I'm the only person this happens to. I just feel like this happens to me. I always, without fail, I always pick the wrong line. In a double drive-thru. I always want to go to the...
Always bet against Cakes.
I always want to go to the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just, you know, like, if you've ever watched NASCAR, even once in your life, you want to be on the inside lane.
Sure.
You never want to be hung out to dry on the outside lane. Like, even if there's an extra car at times inside, I'll tend to pick the inside lane over the outside. Because I just feel like you just get hung out to dry sometimes on the outside lane. But I know, without fail, I'm going to pick the slowest lane whatsoever. Like, the person in front of me either is going to have trouble, like, using the app, or they're going to have the world's largest McDonald's
order.
It's
just your luck, right?
It's just, like, I can never pick the right lane. I'm always botching it. Need to get better at that. I should just, whichever lane I think I'm going to pick, just do the opposite.
Anyway, we're going to have the fish fillets because Valdez says he's never had one, and I don't think I've ever had
one. You're tilting me a little bit by calling them fish fillets. They're Filet-O-Fishes. they're Filet-O-Fishes.
They are.
I don't even consider it.
You can't call them fish fillets and expect for me to take you seriously. Filet-O-Fishes is
they
the
are
proper
Filet-O's.
Name. They're Filet-O-Fishes.
Am I going to like this?
I don't know.
It's a fish stick.
I think you will.
Do you like fish sandwiches?
You like
they
fish
sandwiches. They have to be done well.
It's going to be mediocre.
You know what?
It's going to be... Are you hungry?
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
If you're hungry, I think you'll like it.
Here's what I think. I think they're going to try to sweet talk the people at McDonald's. The people at McDonald's are going to tell Marr and Drab to go kick a bunch of rocks.
Because then they're not going to get
it. And then they're going to come back here. Now, this is still a win.
No. They have the bag secured.
Always bet against Cakes.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
They've already got all the Filet-O-Fishes.
Drab will be walking in here in the next 5 minutes with Filet-O-Fish.
Powers of Persuasion by Drab and Marr. Well done. Yeah. I was thinking that they would just be told no.
I know. If I was working at McDonald's, I would have given them the Heisman so quick.
Right. How about we give you some sausage McMuffins with egg instead? Then that would be great.
Should have put in an order for hotcakes. That's what I really would like this time of day.
Give me hotcakes and sausage. Yes. Why am I going to be eating fish at 8 in the morning? But hey, this is what we do.
Yeah, but it's for the bit.
This is sometimes the way the show works.
What's on it besides cheese?
Just
tartar sauce and a bun.
That's it.
That's it?
Yep.
There's no lettuce and tomato?
Nope.
Lettuce and tomato? Where have you been for the last 30 years,
No,
sir?
No lettuce and tomato.
You don't know what's on a Filet-O-Fish?
No, I told you. I've never had one.
I know. Do you listen? He said he's never had one. Why would he be familiar?
I don't even look at that item on the menu.
Okay, you might not look at it, but just because you don't look at it and or order it with any regularity doesn't mean you don't know what it is. It's a staple of the McDonald's menu.
He doesn't. He's going to find out.
Here it is. bun.
Well, I'm not Ronald McDonald.
Bun, filet, layer of American cheese, blah, tartar sauce, top bun.
Every
there you have it.
Every fish sandwich that I've had in Hilton Head or wherever has had lettuce and tomato.
Every fish sandwich you've had.
It's not a regular fish sandwich.
Yeah, it's different.
It's Nubs.
It's their own spin on it.
It's fast food fish sandwich.
No lettuce or tomato.
Definitely Nubs. The guy who called in to defend it, who said it was good, said he watched a documentary about it, which is it's crazy. Wow. Had to have been beyond just about the fish sandwich.
Right.
But he watched a documentary. He said it was from a bottom feeder fish.
Yes.
He didn't even know what fish it was, but he said a bottom feeder.
Well, dude, it's a $5 sandwich. Yeah, they're not going to serve halibut.
They're mass producing it. You're not going to get a filet of fish made out of Chilean sea bass.
Right. Okay. Here's the key, though, for the filet of fish. The bun has to be hot and soft.
Okay.
Now, since they're bringing it from the restaurant, it might not be, because right when you go to the drive-thru, it's right off out of the oven.
Right.
And so it's hot and soft.
Correct. Look at these conquering heroes coming.
So let's see how it is.
They've got the bag. Good for them.
All right.
Just pass around a filet of fishes, or as JP likes to call them, fish fillets.
Don't open it yet? All right. All right, it's warm. What's the order? Fish
fillet. I 100% have never had this. You know what? Never had it.
Whoever did this bit, this jingle, they should be a multimillionaire because that thing sticks in your brain forever. Can I hear that again, Valdez? Please run that.
All right, let me know when I can bite it because I'm hungry. JP doesn't care. He's just taking it over. What
if that were you? Oh, I do love that Drab did get me special order, no cheese on mine.
Shout out to my guy Islam at the Crystal City McDonald's.
Thank you. Islam. Well done.
Thank you, Islam.
Above and beyond. I mean, you can't get this for breakfast.
Good job.
No, you're right. These are freshly made.
I pulled up my Verizon Vios app, showed them the Monumental Sports Network, showed us live. I showed my empty seat. I said, that's me. I'm supposed to be there. I'm here. We're talking McDonald's.
Yeah. I will say, initially, okay, very off-putting is that the tartar sauce is leaking out.
They put
presentation may not be the best.
It's a copious amount of tartar sauce for some extra flavor.
That looks like a mess.
For my first bite ever of a fish,
but the tartar sauce filet, it works.
Or a filet-o-fish.
It's a filet-o-fish.
What kind of cheese is
this?
It's
not bad, man. Because you know what it is?
Who's American?
Tartar sauce is basically mayo, right?
Yeah, it's mayo with some maybe relish thrown in there. I don't know what else is in there.
It's the mayo is it's a ton or tartar.
This is good when you're hungry.
It's not bad.
Keep pummeling that.
I think this would be good with a remoulade.
Remoulade.
Yes. All right.
A remoulade.
Are we ready, Cakes? You want a drum roll or should I?
I already took my bite. Oh.
This is my first ever.
All these maiden voyages.
It's my first ever too.
Too much tartar.
It's a lot of tartar.
You have some on your face still.
Well, look at the box. The box has tartar all around it.
You know what? It's not bad. I could see if I was starving how much better this would taste.
Yeah.
40% less tartar sauce is the perfect amount of tartar sauce.
That looks like me at 2:00.
That's hurting.
Yeah, I just had my first bite ever of the filet-o-fish. I gotta say, I slept on it. Pretty silly.
Do we have napkins?
I might order this again.
A big mess.
Yeah,
I may order this sometime.
It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
JP's gonna roll up and say, "Give me that fish filet. Give me back that fish filet. Give me that filet." What is he gonna say? Give me that filet-o-fish. Marketing geniuses.
It's good.
Did you guys on the napkins? Whoever just gets one little napkin.
There's 500 napkins.
Yeah.
Okay. What's funny is Cake's doesn't like cheese, but he likes the sandwich.
Because he had no cheese.
No cheese.
Oh, you don't have any cheese?
I got a special order.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They put the steak on the top to let you know there's no cheese on it. That's the McDonald's code.
I think the cheese, you need the cheese for this.
Well, I didn't need the cheese, and it's delicious.
I pummeled it. Done.
You inhaled that filet-o-fish. Well,
what do they call the filet-o-fish in France, Cakes?
I was
a Pulp Fiction.
I wouldn't have any idea. I know that they call the Big Mac the Royale with cheese. I don't know what they call the filet-o-fish. Not sure. Would have to look into that. Jason, I think, needs a second one. Did you guys get extras?
No, that's good.
You know, I will say it might be a new fave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really
Your
enjoyed
initial
it.
Bite, it didn't look like it was going to be a fave.
Well, it was too much tartar.
It was overpowering.
Yeah. Next time you go, say it. Not as much tartar. Yeah, you'll like it even more.
A little easier on that. All right, thank you, boys, for going out and securing the bag.
That's a small sandwich,
What's
though?
The guy's name at the McDonald's?
Islam.
Thank you, Islam.
Again. Very nice.
Hope he's listening.
Well so done, if sir. You got the value meal, you would get fries and a drink with this. It's small.
Of course you would.
It is small.
It's not going to fill you up.
Yeah, you need the fries.
That tiny sandwich, $5.66 a piece.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll stick with my quarter pound
Five years ago, it was like $2. Right.
Expense that.
Yeah. Hope you didn't come out of pocket for that.
I'm going to find that receipt.
Yeah.
Do we need to Venmo? Who do we need to Venmo?
It's fine.
No, we're good. We're good to go. All right, coming up next, we will talk with Pete Haley, our NBC Olympics correspondent. He is going to join us live from Paris next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.